we important enough or not? And you're already to like Close Encounters of the Sixth Kind, where he ends with a hand job.
She's offering eggs.
Yeah. ET, bring me home. Take me.
My body is ready.
Oh my God. Did you hear me? Oh shit.
Dracarys.
The dark side of the Force is a pathway to many abilities some consider to be unnatural.
You're a Spider-Man. You too.
Winter is coming.
Welcome to another episode of the Side Effect Podcast, episode 24. Here I am with my co-hosts, Chris, James, and Tarzan.
Love it.
And that, my friends, is an intro. Clean and straight to the point.
Okay. In this podcast, we're going to be talking about UFOs. UFOs and aliens and alien abductions and life on other parts of the universe. As always, thank you very much to all of our patrons on Patreon. If you guys wanted to join our Patreon, that is patreon.com/thesideeffect. And we're really grateful to everyone who's been sticking around, because we just made a big change in our podcast. We used to talk a lot more about pop culture entertainment, and now we're talking about all of these crazy topics that we just love. Hopefully you guys want to stick around as well.
Yeah, and feel free to let us know on Patreon, you know, give us some feedback on the change. And if you enjoy these episodes as opposed to straight pop culture entertainment. But anyway, yeah, so we're talking aliens, right? And UFOs, or is there life out there? And I guess more importantly, are they visiting Earth? Because I think we all agree. I think we said this last week in our Egypt episode that I think we all said and agreed that it's just there's too many solar systems and planets out there in the universe for there not to be other life, right? But that same argument can be used to say they wouldn't visit here because we're too insignificant and small, correct?
Correct.
So is that where we're at? Is that what we're talking about?
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's not where I stand, but sure.
What do you mean? Where do you stand, Val?
I think there is a big connection between us and these guys who are visiting us.
Okay, explain.
Okay, well, I don't have any proof of this, but this is what I like to believe, and it's the same thing that I was talking about in the last episode, which is basically that they are, you know, maybe, okay, no, this sounds too crazy now. I don't even want to say it anymore. You know what? It's a cool idea. I'm not saying... This is it, but it would be really cool if they were the ones who created us. But you know what? Actually, I have an even better theory that I just remembered, and I can't believe that I didn't think of this before, because this has been the one theory that I've had all my life that I thought of by myself without watching any shows or reading any articles or any books or anything. I thought about it on my own, and I'm super proud of it, and it's probably not super original, but it's that I've always believed that UFOs are us in the future coming back to the past.
We've all had those thoughts we think are original. Yeah. We weren't influenced when we came up with
exactly.
them.
Exactly.
Yeah.
If we are having something happen here on our little measly planet, that's a possibility. That it's us in the future coming back, or if, you know, there's time travel. I mean, we'll not get into time travel here. That'll be too insane. But anyway, I've had that idea too. So it's not crazy. It's not outlandish.
Yeah. Like, what I was thinking of is that, first of all, the way that these ships move super fast, it does look like time travel type of shit. And also the fact that a lot of these aliens look very humanoid, and if we were to focus on the grays, for example, and the fact that their eyes are so big, and their limbs are so small, their bodies are so small. Like, I feel like that could totally be our own evolution type of thing. Like the way our bodies are going to look in the future, because we might not need our bodies as much, and we'll start needing our brains and heads a lot more. And if the evolution theory is real and correct, it would make sense that our heads get bigger And, you know, and we start communicating through thoughts because that's the next thing after the internet.
I think you're exactly right.
I don't know. I just feel like it all fits in this theory. Like, it's very, that those are the things that I use.
Well, it does make sense.
Potential evidence.
It's definitely possible because, I mean, one of the things that they've always said, like, if you do go in space and if you're not, you know, like on an Earth-like planet, I mean, you got gravity and all that shit, that's going to affect, you know, the evolution of the human body, depending. Now, human race could end up in different planets. That's what they call a Mothership Earth project. I don't know if you guys ever heard of that, but basically, you know, going in different directions. And some of these planets out there are crazy, and we're finding more every day. But one thing that we do believe is that over time, you know, our brain will grow. We'll use more of our brain. Which we've already done, if you believe in, you know, coming from like caveman and shit like that. We are getting more intelligent. And I guess, yeah, I mean, all of it does make sense. I mean,
let me say something really quick just to make sure we're on track here. So we all agree that there's life out there. We're already jumping to they're here and they're grays and they're possibly us.
Yeah.
Let me just get out of the way, right? Because I was just throwing that out there earlier, you know, as with the sheer number of stars out there in the universe, I think there's obviously other life.
I think, of course,
everybody's got to agree with that in some way, shape, or form, whether they believe it or whether they want to admit it or not, I guess I could say.
But, yeah.
But again, that same argument, are we important enough for them to come here? So I think about, and this is just a little, let me use a little bit of allusion to Star Trek, First Contact, if you guys have seen that movie, right? To go back to some pop culture, entertainment. Wow. Mm-hmm. The Vulcans were flying by, right? They were just flying, cruising through, worried about Earth. They didn't care about us. We were too primitive. And then they saw the first warp speed test. And that's when they stopped in and made first contact. That was the whole movie premise. So would a race, first of all, care about us? Are we too primitive or not?
Actually, that is based on a little real history. The whole Roswell shit started after we started testing atom bombs. I mean, that is when they started seeing flying saucers and shit and saying that, you know, they were crashing because all of a sudden we are significant. They see, oh shit, these guys are onto something that could potentially screw up some stuff, you know? So they want to come keep an eye on us, you know?
What year did they start with the atom bomb? Do you remember?
Well, let's see. The first one that was dropped in war was August 6th of 45. So I'm sure they were testing in 44 and 40, maybe 40.
Yeah, Rocco was 47.
Yeah, so they all of a sudden, you know, that Alamogordo and all the places they were testing them. Now next thing you know, there's UFOs in the desert. You know, like Chris said, we were insignificant until something happened. And like he said in the movie, it was warp speed testing. I do believe that. I believe that we have brought attention to ourselves.
Yeah,
I was going to actually bring that up too. I'm glad you did. I was thinking about that earlier. Maybe that was our warp speed moment is what I was going to say. But all right. So I think we've all seen videos, right? We've all seen the videos and read the stories and we've heard of Roswell. Going back to the future us type thing just for a second, but not necessarily future us, but how much do you think of that is? Because we were talking about last week about governments having more technology than they'll let on. We're always probably 50 years ahead in government stuff, right, that we don't know about right now. How much are these UFOs or actual, say, extraterrestrials visiting because they're keeping an eye on us or whatever they may be, or there are makers, and how much of it is advanced military weaponry that we're not just supposed to know about, like, say, Area 51, where they test planes, for
example? I would say, if I was to guess, I would say 90% military top secret shit, 10% real deal.
Well, I would say that sure, 90%, but using their technology.
Using theirs, yes, from the crashes and things like that. Yep.
Yeah.
I agree. And one last thing I'd like to say on that evolution thing about how Val said, you know, in the future, our heads will need to be bigger and our eyes. I had a teacher in high school. Now, whether this is so or who knows, but you know, when your teacher tells it to you in school, you feel like, yeah, I can believe this. He said that, you know, old skeletons like really old ones, mm-hmm. all four fingers are the same length, and that they have
evolved. I think I've heard this. Yeah, I think I've heard
based on
like this.
How much we use them, and that's why our pinky's small, because in life you rarely use it, you know? So they had the opposable thumb, but the four fingers were all the exact same length.
Interesting.
So, yeah, so we do evolve, you know.
Oh, yeah, we're seeing evolution. Yeah, I mean, you can see it even in our in just a couple of generations, actually on small scales. Like, for example, some people are now born without wisdom teeth.
That's true. Yeah.
Tonsils. What?
That's right. Yeah, so yeah.
That's already happening. So there's no doubt that's still going
on. They're not necessary anymore.
Oh, right. That's so weird.
It is. Right before our eyes.
That's crazy. I like it.
I do too, man.
Yeah. Another thing that I was going to tie into what Chris was saying about we weren't important until this happened. You can also tie it to the same theory of it them being us in the future. They would know at what point in history we started trying out those things. But then again, it would have to be one of those closed loop in time, I guess, because, you know, if we destroyed Earth, they wouldn't exist.
Right, so, right.
Yeah, it starts getting very timey-wobbly shit.
What are your thoughts, guys, on, like, other completely different species? Like Chris said earlier, as far as how many stars and everything there are out there, I mean, there could be other intelligent life that isn't whatever, like Homo erectus or whatever you want to call it. Homo sapien.
We can't necessarily conceive of what they may. We all, like our science fiction writers and stuff, they all draw, or artists draw something humanoid.
Yeah.
But they may not be. I mean, look at our own oceans.
Yeah.
you know what I mean?
It could be like cartoons, how they'll have like octopus looking aliens and stuff. You know, you never know what's out there really. But the ones that we've encountered, for sure, they all seem to be humanoid.
Well, there's a lot of stuff on this planet that we've already proven that can survive in space. Okay. One, I thought this was cool. It's called a fart worm. It lives in methane ice. So if you guys are familiar, there's plenty of planets out there that have methane.
Wow.
Okay. One of them's being like the moon of, Saturn, which is Titan. I think the most interesting one was we were just talking about this briefly. It's called the tardigrade, and it's also known as the water bear. But check this out. It can go decades without eating. It can survive in temperatures below freezing and above boiling. It can survive at 6,000 times atmospheric pressure. It can also withstand radiation 1,000 times a normal human being. And here's the crazy thing. It can regrow limbs, and it can repair its own DNA and can live easily in space. So, I mean, that's proof right there of something that can survive. They also, I forgot the guy's name, he set up a weather balloon, and they did find a micro bacteria type organism, a living thing. And they've been trying to debunk it, but they can't. It's not from this Earth.
If I remember reading right, on the International Space Station, in the glass, it's multi-paned, they have found foreign bacteria that, like, is new, that it was created in space. Now, not saying that like it was floating in space and clung there, but something up there caused this new bacteria that has never been discovered on Earth before to be found in the windows.
Wait, on the windows of the ships?
No, the International Space Station.
Yeah, those, you know, the International Space Station where they, you know, it's up there forever.
Yeah.
And all these people come and go, and they're in there, they're sweaty. They say some parts of it really stink, like a locker room or worse. And people are up there so long, and they take these whore baths, basically. and that there, between the layers of the glass, there is some, I can't remember how, I would have to look it up. I should have looked it up. I didn't think about it for this. But yeah, it's a foreign bacteria that's never been seen or found on Earth.
So that environment's letting something grow there.
Something.
And so mm-hmm. it just shows you that, you know, even though
once
space
things
is,
are up there, shit changes.
Yeah, space is a cold vacuum and everything, but things can survive there.
Right.
I guess.
But and evolve mm-hmm. in different ways, which makes sense because evolution is tied to your environment.
Right.
Cool. Yeah. It's pretty sweet. Well, and I was thinking when you guys were talking about what other types of species there could be in space, and like we have only seen one. I mean, like sure, we have seen different types of aliens, but we seem to only see the intelligent ones. You know what I mean? Like,
right,
like
right.
If they were to see us, they would only see humans. They would not see, like, you know, lions or hippos or giraffes. And, you know, like, we have all of these other species, but we're not going to put those in a ship and fly them somewhere. So can you imagine if, like, we go to where they live and just to see everything else that could be on their planet or wherever they live?
Another theory that I had, honestly, and if you think about it, dolphins are intelligent, right? There's a lot of I think other than us, I mean, a lot of the water creatures are very intelligent. It's very possible, because now they're finding tons of these Earth-like planets, but they're so freaking far away. It's very possible to have a water world type, not like that damn movie, no, but you know what I mean? Just a completely, you know, like the one in Star Wars, Chris, you know what I mean? The whole entire planet is just nothing but water. And of course they could be extremely intelligent. They could be 10 times more intelligent than us, but maybe they don't have mastered the way to, I guess, keep water pressure or something within a vessel or build something underwater. I don't, you know what I'm saying? I mean, that's very possible. That's very, very possible that there could be intelligent, or maybe some of them, like, you know, we don't want to fucking leave. We want to stay right where we are. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I have no doubt there's probably billions of life forms out there, and most are probably not intelligent. Obviously, we're dealing with the most intelligent, because if they're visiting us, then they have interstellar space travel. So I guess that's what we're focusing on, is, you know, the intelligent, you know, grays or whatever you want to call them. And of course, let's establish that grays are what was supposedly found at Roswell, correct? I mean, that's where most and all the different various Air Force pilots that come out and the various sightings describes a very similar creature.
You know, what's real funny is right around that time, 19, I think it started, I guess, right after, like James said, after the A-bomb, it was all like 47, 48, 49, 50. That's when there was all kinds of crazy shit. There was the first Air Force, I think that was in 48, which was about a year after Roswell. They said they had found an aircraft much larger than anything owned by any military that they knew of, and it maneuvered like any other aircraft that is still even known today. So, I mean, we get sightings like that all the time, but some people could be on some shit, some people could be full of shit, you know what I mean? But they supposedly there's records of it, you know, through the government, that they had it on radar and just took off or whatever. But it was funny because all these sightings happened, and then I think it was in shit, I don't remember what year it was. Oh, right at the time at Roswell, 47, 48. So now, remember, with Roswell, they're saying that was a fucking weather balloon. Y'all are crazy. There ain't no damn aliens, right?
Yeah, well, after they changed their story. Initially, it was a flying disc, and then it became a weather balloon, right?
They totally changed.
Yes. So then the government opened this thing called Project Sign, which is basically trying to debunk all the UFO theories out there, and there were 95% of them were bullshit, just a bunch of crazy people trying to get popularity. But they had a couple hundred of them that they have, you know, deemed unidentified. Like I said, I think the government, they know the truth. And the thing about, you're talking about Area 51, what was it, 2013? They finally admitted that it was there. They lied to us. Everybody had Google Maps and all that shit. Like, it's right there. Like, no.
Yeah, everybody knew it for years, and they finally just acknowledged it, you know, that it was, and, you know, you see the unmarked planes fly the employees in and out and all that kind of stuff. And, but, you know, the U.S. is very secretive about it. And I can understand to a degree keeping stuff secret to a degree. But other countries are open about it and are, you know, will admit it. But
France is one.
Yeah. A lot of people, I was telling James about this a couple months ago, just some random conversation. Mm-hmm. There was an incident, I believe it was L.A., in the 40s, I want to say 42, that there was something over L.A. and the army were called out, and National Guard, and they shot at it.
What?
And they had spotlights on it. And then you can look it up on the internet. You can see the old pictures of it. But yeah, that was before Roswell.
What?
And yeah, I mean, it's right here, L.A., February 25th, 1942. And yeah, the military actually shot at this thing. And I don't know what exactly happened after that. It just disappeared, I guess. But There's been sightings everywhere all over the world, and they seem to, and a lot of people go back to, and going back to last week's, you know, we're talking about the megaliths and shit, right? That some of people associate those areas with UFO sightings, and
yeah, absolutely.
It's almost like Bigfoot. There's hot spots about it. You know what I mean? And Bigfoots are aliens too, by the way, apparently. Some people think that.
Yeah, I heard that.
I don't believe in Bigfoot personally.
What? Are you kidding me?
This is probably my fucking camping.
I love Bigfoot stuff, but there's no real evidence of it. You would have found something by now. What
did you say? Say is his ex-wife camping?
Yes, it did.
Yeah.
She's a blurry motherfucker.
The problem is, there's with anything like UFOs or Bigfoot, there's too many fucking hoaxes now.
Exactly. Because
people have the technology to do their own shit, and that's what makes it hard to identify something real. Because 90% of the shit's hoaxes, whether it's Bigfoot, UFOs, making, you know, doing Photoshop, doing, you know, video editing, you know, like the crop circles that got busted many years ago.
Broke my heart.
Yeah.
Dude, it broke my heart when that was debunked.
How easy it could be done, yep. And how quick. And
also, though, if you go with like the literal definition of UFO, people wholeheartedly see things and believe, you know, I mean, they know they saw something. It's just like we talk about, it's unidentified. It could be military. We could have seen at some point in our life. Could you imagine the first time someone saw a stealth bomber?
Oh, yeah.
You absolutely. Know, being flown before it was like released to the public, because they had the damn
the Blackbirds, the all those.
All yeah, those all things, those man. They look different than anything you'd ever seen before. So they're testing stuff all the time. And it could very well be the reason that there are a lot of sightings. And it's just us.
Yeah, and there's just a lot of atmospheric stuff, too.
Yes.
That just, you know, like Northern Lights and
yep.
all kinds of stuff that people don't understand. And so a lot of that's attributed to intelligence. Technically, it is a UFO, unidentified. It's a flying object. But it's attributed to a spaceship when it's just a meteor or a mirage. And, you know,
do you remember? It's not been that long ago. I walked in the door and said, dude, I just saw a UFO. And then next thing you know, all over Facebook, everybody saw it. It was a big meteor.
Right. Yes.
I lived up in Albuquerque for a while. One of the things they would confuse a lot of times, there's actually a lot of when it gets, you know, starts getting, you can see pretty good out there. There's a lot of satellites that get confused. They move pretty fast. They move pretty damn fast. I mean, they're not like, you know,
shooting. Oh, yeah,
fast.
They would. What?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
When you see the space station go by, they'll tell you about it. And it'll be like, look, it's going to be just a light to you, and it's going to move really fast. Don't call us. You know, and I've seen it several times myself. So, yeah, absolutely. But, yeah, I mean, all this stuff gets tied in with, you know, the Bermuda Triangle mysteries and why that area seems to lose a lot of ships and planes. And I do think there's a lot of natural things that cause a lot of that stuff, but it's attributed to, you know, UFOs and whatever. And I think you just got to acknowledge a lot of things that you don't understand are always attributed to outside life or ET or whatever.
We have no idea what form, you know, even if they do make contact, that's just it. I mean, and I hate to sound too crazy, but because of all these different organisms and stuff that they're finding now and how they can survive and what they can survive in, it probably could look like it could be right here. We wouldn't even know it. Okay. That's another theory as well. I mean, when I was doing some of this research on this stuff, like things living in methane and just some of the crazy environments that we have on this planet, I could just imagine what the hell's out there. I mean, to be honest with you, you can go as crazy as you want to. I think the most reality thing is a planet full of insects, kind of like, what was that movie? Starship Troopers. That's a very fucking possible reality. You know, cockroach is one of those things that can survive.
I agree with that. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, that is a high, I mean, you got water-based creatures. It all depends on the environment of the planet. But the thing is, it's going to be a lot rarer than you would think. It's not like, you know, look at our solar system. One out of nine has life. Well, out of the planets. I mean, we ain't going to go there, I guess, right? Europa could very potentially have, which is a moon of Jupiter, could very potentially have life.
Well, I mean, yeah, I think that gets into, you know, Earth's in the exact right spot for this moment in time, this little fleeting moment in time that may be a billion years in the right spot for the sun. As we get further and further out, we'll all die off, and then we'll see if the next one up can form life. So that's kind of the way that works.
And will it form life because of us? Something we do because we're trying to get there.
I honestly think so because I think they're trying to do that with Titan right now, which is a moon off of Saturn. They believe that has all the early signs of the Earth, and they might want to try to speed the growth. I don't know, because you got to remember at one point in time the sun's gonna eat us or come damn close to it. Okay.
Oh, it will, definitely will. It'll grow into a red giant and boom, we're gone.
Let me ask you guys this. I'm sorry. Go ahead, Tarzan.
No, go ahead. I was going to say that would put that Saturn area in the habitable zone at that point in time, pretty much.
How influential, I mean, do you think movies have been? You're talking like, I guess, what, the first talkies or whatever, you know? I mean, that's 20th century. And then next thing, I mean, I just don't think cowboys and shit were talking about aliens. Because we grew up influenced by all these movies and things. I don't, but maybe they were. Maybe they saw shit and didn't have a definition for it or whatever. I don't know. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, I would go back to you know, the Bible and things like that. Ancient texts have all have stories of star people or things coming down from the heavens. I mean, that's where religions are based off of, as a matter of fact. So I think people have always seen things in the sky. And of course, a lot of it was just straight up stuff we know now has been proven with science that are comets or asteroids, meteorites, whatever. So I think a lot of that can be attributed to that stuff. But yeah, I mean, it makes you wonder. Now, you know, today we can share information instantly. So everybody knows about it in 15 minutes on Facebook, you know.
Yeah, no shit.
Whereas before it was just a small group of people and they're like, should we just, you know, by the time they maybe they don't tell anybody about it, whatever. But
yeah. And the story changes a lot and gets...
Yes, and by the time it gets to the 10th person, it was 10 times bigger, it was silver, it was a disc shape. I've never understood the disc shape thing. Why a disc? So it makes me wonder how much sci-fi writers, early on sci-fi writers, had to do with, you know, the stories that are kind of manipulated as far as what people actually see something, but then it changes in their head. They thought they saw this disc shaped thing because they were influenced in some way subconsciously.
Yeah. I don't know. Cause there are a lot of stories from people that sound very, very real and from legitimate sources at least. And they describe them as discs too. So I don't think that part would be based in movies and stuff, but, there's too many variables to it to say for sure. That's like what I was thinking about, like when, and this might sound a bit different, but trust me, it's kind of related. when the crash happened at Roswell, and I was thinking, I had this one thought of like, okay, so think of us and our car crashes or plane crashes. For a plane to crash, you must have like 100,000 flights before one plane crashes. And crashes, especially for aliens who are super advanced that fly through freaking space, okay, like for one of their ships to crash, that must be like next to impossible. So I was thinking, like, is it either that we've been visited so many freaking times that it finally happened that one of them crashed, or is it something about our Earth that messed up their ship? And their
technology? Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I guess. I mean, they can still have technical difficulties like anybody else, I guess, on occasion.
It happens. I mean, I don't care.
But imagine, like, just the amount of times that they must have visited us for it to happen. Like, it's just the probabilities of it happening. If they visited, like, say they visited 5 times. It's just, if when you think about it in probability, you know, like the science of probability, like there's just no freaking way that in like 5 trips they had one malfunction for such an advanced race.
Like, no, but they could have had, you know, so let's say over the span of their existence, 5 million trips around different worlds, and we were just one of the crashes, you know what I mean?
Oh, yeah, we were that lucky.
Yeah, right.
But you got to remember, too, I mean, there's no proof they existed. But, you know, we don't know what type of, you know, if our environment or something about our environment was something that, you know, their shit couldn't hack. You know what I mean? We don't know if they're cloaking or whatever. I mean, there might have been something here that fucked that up. You know what I mean? I don't know. Could be anything.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying, too. It's like, that's the other option.
Even the Earth is, you know, it's nowhere near as violent as some of the places that they have found. But the Earth, you know, it does have erratic storms and the shit that goes up on there. I mean, maybe they hit a lightning storm. Who knows? You know, I mean, like, oh, we could survive that. And it fucked up maybe something. I don't know. Like I said, I was not even nowhere around 47. But I do want to talk about Roswell for a second. And I'll tell you, I'm probably going to have somebody knocking on my fucking door watch.
Yeah.
When I was in the military, I had to actually do some what they call aircraft wreck, which is actually on the same place where they had the hangar where they supposedly took them from the farm. If you guys know the story, they supposedly landed near the farm, and then they took them to this hangar on Roswell Air Force Base. On that Air Force Base, that particular hangar, I think it's not Hangar 18. It's not. It's Hangar 87 or some shit. But that thing was like, they don't use it no more for nothing. It just stays gutted. I don't understand why. It's a waste. And they definitely got a lot going on out there. And they're still crazy out there. Like when you're in the service and you see the, what do you call about it? Well, they did back then. I don't know now. That was in the 90s. You're not allowed to look at like the stealth and stuff. You're supposed to look away, which is bullshit. Yeah. So we were investigating that whole thing. This is the one thing that makes me kind of weird. They had military personnel up in that area, and we were told that you can't bring your e-tool up there. You can't bring no radar equipment or anything. I was like, okay, it was just a goddamn weather balloon. I mean, because I don't know who's been, people that are listening have been in service. Like, we had our full gear and your e-tool. I'm like, you're going to take my e-tool. You know, I'm like, all right, cool. Which is a foldable, collapsible shovel. Okay, that's what it is. And yeah, they were kind of still weird. I mean, now you're talking in the 90s. That happened in 47. And I believe that was like 96, 97. So that, what was that, about 50 years? About 50 fucking years, and they're still worried about people going up there. It's just weird for a fucking balloon. You know what I mean? It just is. Yeah, they're still kind of, you know, there's a lot of controversy that they, I tried to find proof on stuff, but there's supposedly one section of a hospital was closed for a little while. And, you know, there's a lot of things supposedly that went down, and I just haven't found concrete evidence on it. Now, I'm not saying it happened or it didn't happen, but it does look a little fucking shady just from my personal being up there 50 fucking years later. I'm like, yeah. Why do you even give a damn about radar or whatever? You know what I mean?
For sure.
Well, I mean, I think you also got to consider, at least in that time period, building up towards the Cold War and all that kind of stuff. It was that was probably the first thought. This is some kind of Russian thing. You know, we got to, what the hell's going on? We're being attacked. You know, I'm sure there's valid, legitimate concerns with the military keeping shit secret or grabbing it up or whatever. Although on one hand, you want to, you know, it's like, you want to know everything that our government's doing, but at the same time, I do understand some things being secretive.
I'd like to point out that there is a person, you know, that I know, actually Chris knows too pretty well, who totally believes that, you know, he's been abducted.
Ooh,
I'm just going to say this. Okay. Yep. And that's the way everybody reacts.
Exactly.
Right.
Exactly.
Okay. So I had a long talk with him one night. I mean, he actually keeps a journal, and he writes in it every day about weird phenomenon, you know, that happened to him. He sees, observes, and he has tons of these notebooks. But this guy is a huge, huge Star Trek fan.
And alcoholic, just saying.
And alcoholic.
Oh.
But I told, I when we had this talk, I said, listen, you know, I absolutely believe there's life out there. But it seems to me that everyone who sees UFOs, says they have had encounters and stuff, it just seems to me that they are almost predisposed to it. They want it to happen. He'd go as far as to have a weird dream, like we all have weird dreams, but believe it had something to do.
Yeah, he would
with
come
that.
Back in the next day after having a dream, and that was somehow his dream state while he was being abducted. He'd find a new little mark on his arm.
A scar. He would say, see this scar on my arm? It wasn't there 2 days ago. And it would be like a healed scar from months ago.
Right. That he forgot he cut himself when he was drunk the week before or whatever.
But I do believe now. Now, that movie, Fire in the Sky, I used to love that movie. When it first came out, I watched it multiple times. He, you know, what was his name? Travis Walton or something like that, I think his name was. He wasn't that type of guy. So if that was a true story, in fact, he wasn't that type of guy. But most people, I think, who belong to these UFO clubs and things like that are all like Trekkies or Trekkers or whatever you want to call them. I believe that. And it's kind of like when Chris and I have had these discussions about ghosts, you're almost, I don't know, your mind is just so open to it that any weird noise you hear, anything like that can be attributed to a ghost, something like that. I liken it to that kind of mentality.
Yeah, I agree. I was going to actually bring up that comparison too, but yeah, you made it for me. Exactly. It's like this particular person, he's looking through this lens.
Yes.
There's always a conspiracy. There's always something, and I'm special.
Yes.
Like, why you versus anybody else in the damn world?
So that's why I brought up the movies earlier. I just wonder how much it has really impacted people, you know?
Yeah, you know, and think about that. You know, somebody that's, you know, watched Star Trek and Star Wars, and they're, like you said, maybe predisposed to it because they did have a weird dream or they did see something in the sky or a light go by, but they really never got explained. And then they learn about UFOs, they look it up, and they become part of this kind of almost a cult in a way in some cases. I'm not saying everybody mm-hmm. necessarily, but they just see everything through this lens they're looking for. They're out to I don't know.
It's, to say I told you so or something?
I guess. You know? I guess.
Because I think consensus is that most people believe there's life out there. But then there's this small group of people who believe they visit here all the damn time. You know, I don't know. And they may. I don't know. That's the weird thing.
Well, I mean, to me, like, what proves it to me, I mean, the abductions thing, because I do believe in the abductions, it's the fact that a lot of people who have been abducted and they have been interviewed in groups, and these people that didn't know each other, they all said the same thing about their experiences. There's a lot of things, a lot of details that are the same in their stories, even though these people didn't even know each other.
So, right, but you got to also think about the thing, like, let's say you get a group of people who have technically died on an operating table and came back. They all have a similar experience too. You know, the bright lights or whatever, you mm-hmm. know, people see. But now they've discovered you can actually recreate that by stimulating a certain part of the brain. So, you know, there's something to that maybe, but I'm just saying. I'm just being the skeptic, as usual.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, yeah. To Val's point, you know, they're not all Americans. I mean, these are people who not only do they not know each other, they don't watch the same media, read the same magazines. They're from different countries, and they say they see and experience the same things. So there is something to it, I believe. Because if we were the intelligent life form visiting another planet, and we got there and say they were, you know, little tiny fuckers or something, we would want to do tests on them. We would want to collect them and, you know, so who's
get in here, get in my pocket.
You know? At some point we would put them on a table and check them out. And
yeah.
You're right. Yeah. Which apparently happened at Roswell. I mean, apparently a couple of them were dead and they did do autopsies and the other ones weren't dead. But and then of course they got information and started working with them. That's the story.
Yeah.
And Val brought that up in the beginning. As far as the technology goes, a lot of it we think is their technology that we're making these leaps and bounds with right now.
Yeah. That is definitely something that's an option. Absolutely. Because, I mean, you take that time frame and then think about how everything just kind of really picked up from them electronically. You know, they just went bloop.
Damn Skippy.
Yeah, that's been an actual theory on several shows that we used to watch and I've read about it, and that we were talking about that last week with the jump in technology from last really 50 years, but last 100 or so, but really the last 50. And I've seen things where, you know, supposedly they reverse engineered, you know, Roswell crash ships. And
right.
We came up with all this technology we see now in our phones and our cars and everything else. So,
mm-hmm. What I was going to say, just going back to the abductions thing and being experimented on, is one of the things that stuck with me from one of the many interviews that I listened to with abductees and stuff. And it was these two people who never met each other. And he was like a podcast type of thing. I can't remember where it was, but, and this is what I meant when I said in the, like two episodes ago that, you know, I know some shit. I was just,
yes, what is the shit, Val?
So the shit is like, so, because, you know, you guys have heard about abductees, like usually like females who have, like they have taken like eggs out of the females and they have, you know, mixed in their, just like had babies with them, basically. Right. Like some women claim to have had babies from aliens and stuff. And then they take the fetus away from them and stuff. But also, of course, they get this same type of stuff from the guys. All right. And apparently this is a very strange situation for the guys because they need to be, you know,
enjoy it.
An alien.
Oh,
right.
They have to be, are you saying milked, Val?
Yeah.
I just wanted to hear Val say it.
And then it's just, so the funny thing is like these two guys were like just trying to connect with each other because no one else can explain what this actually feels like. It's to be on a bed with, like, you know, these aliens around you, and it's super sweet, weird situation, and then just enjoying yourself. They were talking to each other about that, and they're just like, yeah, it's fucking weird, man. Like, it's just, oh my God. And that just, I couldn't get that out of my mind.
That is a crazy thought.
Yeah.
Because, yeah, those jokers are produced on the spot. Whereas your eggs, they can grab them at any time.
Right, right.
Yeah, yeah.
I need that t-shirt. I got milked by an alien. I'm sorry, I'm going to hell.
Yeah, yeah. But yeah.
I would like to ask you guys, do any of you have stories where you believe you and a friend or you alone have seen anything?
I have something. And I debunked it myself. And I got, you know, I grew up back when you fucked up your parents' beach ass. Okay. So
yes,
I was out kind of, you know, back in the day when we were out there,
this and it was starting to get dark.
Well, it was starting to get dark, and I was out with my friends. We were kind of a little away from where we were supposed to be. And we saw these three lights kind of like doing this weird circle pattern and shit up in the cloud. It was a cloudy night, you know, and I'm like, what the fuck is that? Dude, we rode our bikes like, I don't know, about 14 miles almost. Was it that far? No, about 9 miles, 9 miles. And I was home late, but guess what it fucking was? It was the grand opening of a goddamn grocery store. Is it those rotating spotlights? Oh. We just kept following it, trying to get around.
Those did mess with me when they would do those light fires.
They still did that here up to a few years ago.
The rainbow too, I promise you.
That's crazy. You went to the end of the rainbow for that.
Yeah, I don't know. My dad says he's seen UFOs in the sky. I've never seen any.
I don't think I have. I think everything I've seen, I've known, whether it be, you know, they tell you the space station's coming across. I've seen a billion shooting stars out here, especially. There's no lights when you turn everything out, or going camping quite a bit. It's a lot out there. So I don't think I've ever seen anything that I was like.
I have definitely seen some low lights, and I'm going, okay, you know, it's. You're convincing yourself, you know, it's just a low flying plane,
right?
You know, but I have seen some pretty low lights. That's the thing that gets me. But to me, would it look like a light? I don't think it would.
Yeah.
You know, like we know what a light on a plane looks like. This looked like a light on a plane, but was lower. If they're so advanced, you know, they're beyond LED and
right, and LCD. That's exactly what I was going to say. Why do people assume it's going to be a light anyway?
Exactly. It could be like something that would just blow your mind the way it would illuminate, you know? So, I don't know.
Yeah, and that's what I'm saying. I've seen things in the sky that I've, you know, think, okay, that's what is that? And then I'll just like, okay, I'm waiting for the blinking light, right? Because all planes have to have blinking lights. And then eventually it gets into range where you start seeing it blink. Oh, okay, that's just a plane off in the distance in a weird angle. But yeah, I mean, that's what makes me think that most of them are probably bullshit that are seen because, yeah, we're thinking in our own terms.
Yeah.
We're absolutely thinking in our own terms. Why would they, they have LEDs, but they can travel through hyperspace.
Right.
Or whatever you want to call it. I mean, I use the Star Wars term there, but you know what I mean?
Like Val said, they could be invisible.
Right, you know? And you would never be seen in it anyway.
Right. Which would be the smart way if you were going to do it.
Exactly. And it's kind of like the abduction thing, because I've heard a lot of these stories, and I try to, you know, and not that you're thinking clearly in a situation like that. I'm not saying it's not happened at all, but I'm just thinking, you listen to some of these stories, right? They got beamed up, right? They were beamed up by a light, or a light came around them, and all of a sudden they found themselves on a table. Mm-hmm. And they saw these creatures with this high tech shit around them or whatever, but then they cut them with a scalpel.
Like, exactly.
Really?
Exactly.
They beamed you up with a light, but they'd still need a knife to cut you open.
Good point.
You know, by hand. That's what I try to look for.
That's
those
a very
kind of,
primitive tool for
It's
them.
A very primitive
That'd
tool.
That'd be like us using a rock.
Right. We have laser scalpels now. Right.
Well, okay, but wait.
No.
Wait. You're talking about certain, I don't remember anyone saying specifically a scalpel, but it does make me think of the cows that appear, you know, without legs. and with no scars, yeah, but no legs. And like, that's clearly something that technology that we don't have. To like sew up whatever is being cut from a body.
Yeah, that freaked me out. You're right.
One of the big problems I have is, if you think about this, like if you look at the alien abductions and all that shit that reported like in the 80s and the 70s and stuff like that, that when they talk about being abducted, this is where I have a problem, that the way it was done, a lot of it either matched sci-fi movies of that time or that modern technology. And now when you think of it now and where we are now, it's like, that makes you're full of shit. Sorry. I mean, it makes no sense.
You're exactly
right. I agree. And it's kind of like some of these, you know, a lot of the photos you used to see, it's like it's like old futuristic, you know, it's like somebody in the 50s that was drawing a comic book said this is what they imagine in their head. And that's what you see floating around this fake ass photo. It's like, that wouldn't look like that with rivets. It's a metal thing with rivets. You're telling me they use the same kind of tools we do? Like, you can see the rivet marks and the, you know, like, it wouldn't be a seamless kind of advanced thing?
No, because they took DeWalt. He did that shit, man.
DeWalt.
That's where the scraps went.
That's exactly right. I forgot about fucking DeWalt.
From his big ass apron.
I've got to listen to that.
Yeah, I listened to DeWalt today, so.
But I don't see how we could do this without talking about the big,
basically reading War of the Worlds
on the radio,
we thought it was real,
and everybody thought it was real. Orson Welles, yeah, when he read that on the radio, and people were like committing suicide and shit because, yeah, they thought it was really, we were being invaded. So media does play a huge role in all of this, every bit of it. And like Chris said, the old sci-fi comics or mags, you know, the magazines and shit. But I highly recommend, write this down. Do not forget it. Watch on Netflix the documentary Unacknowledged.
Unacknowledged.
Unacknowledged. It will absolutely blow your mind. I buy into it. This, you know, a lot of documents are starting to be declassified. But basically, this guy's talking about his name's like Dr. Greer, Anthony Greer, I believe is his name. And anyway, he says that there are things that are so top secret that the president has no, you know, it's not funded by our tax money or anything. It's just totally the highest security clearance in our country. And it's all underground, but he has proof, like documents and people interviewing high-ranking military officials, astronauts, things like that. There's some shit has happened, and he has some good film, actually, of crazy stuff, like let's say the launching of a ICBM. It failed right after launch. When you watch the video, there are these lights that are hovering around it. So imagine how fast they have to go. It's like they're causing it to, fail. The lights, there's three lights, and they're moving so fast. This thing is launching, and you know how fast those rockets launch. These things are jumping above it, going around it, circling around, doing different things. You can see it in the video clear as a bell, and there are witnesses testifying to it that they saw it happen. They don't want us messing with nukes. I'm telling you, I really buy into that. When we split the atom, we got their attention. And then when we started, you know, learning how to do the, the hydrogen bomb is, not fusion, but fission or something like that. Anyway, we've got into some territory that has brought attention to us. And whether it is us from the future, like Val said, I like what you said there, Val, about how, I don't know, it kind of, you have to believe in that closed loop kind of thing. But I don't know what it is, but I do believe there's something out there and they don't like us messing with this shit.
What year did we go to the moon?
That was 69. Huh. July.
Here's one thing July I just don't 69. Understand. I just honestly don't think all these governments would be putting all this money into all these different space programs if they were just, you know, they're like, oh, nope, there's no life out there. You know what I mean? I don't understand that, because it seems like sometimes NASA likes to try to tear even from our government, because they're constantly trying to push the envelope. But now they're saying, okay, we want to do this because of resources and shit of that nature. You know what I mean? But it just doesn't make sense. Like, what was the first one? Hubble, right? You had the Hubble, and then they upgraded to the Kepler satellite. They got a couple other ones. The big one now is called the Webb telescope, and that's going to be able to actually, I guess, let them know what a terrain of a whole planet is, but they're having problems with it because it's going to be huge. And the problem is they can't figure out how to do rockets to get it up in there. And I guess it's going to open up when it's up there. I don't know. Check it out. It's called the Webb telescope. Yeah, it looks crazy. But it gets huge, and it's going to be, you know, kind of like fucking trying to think of something Star Wars, I'm sure, or something like it, you know, where it's all just kind of balled up. Like those fucking droid things that came on Hoth. What are they called, Chris? They come down like as a fucking metal satellite thing, and they open up.
Yeah. Oh, you mean the Imperial probe droids?
Yeah, so something kind of like that. What I'm saying, it's going to go up there kind of like a castle that's going to open up, and
yeah,
all this shit's going to come out of it. And yeah, it looks crazy. But the thing is, why are we doing all that and trying to use all this constant new technology? I mean, right now they're finding more and more shit all the time.
Well, the thing is, our space program has been on decline for the last 20 years. It's now private industry doing it. We've essentially done nothing. NASA has, at least on in the open. Let me just say that.
True.
I mean, we've been on decline for a long time in space, and now we got these, you know, SpaceX private people doing all this stuff again. So I don't know. You would think with the nuclear thing, I like the idea of the nuclear thing being a kind of a point of interest for an ET to visit us or whatever. But since then, we all have them. Every major country have nukes, and there's been, you would think the stuff would increase, but our space program's decreased. Everything's decreased except for the private sector.
Touching on what Tarzan was saying about the telescope, you know, we have to understand that the size of our universe is directly related to the latest, greatest telescope. You know, once we get another one, you know, it gets bigger. I mean, this freaking, our universe is so huge, man. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, infinite.
But it's just crazy because, like, with that Kepler, which is now the downgrade already, Hubble's a fucking dinosaur, basically. At Kepler, I think they said they've documented 22% of all the suns in the Milky Way galaxy that they have found so far are in that Earth habitable zone.
Wow.
So that's crazy. I mean, I like that shit. I'm more prone to, you know, I like that than Bobby Down Jones, who I know drinks a fifth a day. Says, "Man, look at these scars. You know, I got taken up, Nate. You know, I got an anal probe and all this other shit." You know,
is he singing? I can't understand.
But I mean, and something else up there that fascinates me, and I'm ignorant to it. I really don't understand. To be fascinated with it, you'd think I'd read more on it, but black holes really fascinate me.
Yeah, they always have me too. Same here.
You know, are we in agreement that the grays are us more evolved?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know if there even are grays yet. I'm still not 100% there. I think there's something to it. Obviously, there's a lot of people describe the same thing from different parts of the world.
Right.
But we don't know. You know, like, I would have to know every old sci-fi writer that first, like, thought of writing a space story. What inspired that, as a matter of fact? You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
Which came first? You know, a book about, like, somebody in space, or a sighting, and then somebody got an idea for a book for it back in the 1800s or whatever. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Well, you know, another thing that all of these abductions have in common is that they usually make you feel...
End with a hinge.
Yes.
I'm sorry.
They have the ability to control emotions. And they have the ability to basically, like, turn off our fear. And they have somehow figured out how the human psychic, like, the psyche, I don't know, the human brain.
I see what you're saying.
And they not only make you not feel afraid of them and make you feel comfortable with them, because something that a lot of abductees say is that I felt like I knew this person already. You know, I felt very comfortable. I was not afraid. But another thing is that they can make us see things. So they can make themselves look different. They can make us see them differently. And this is why a lot of people, and this is, well, I mean, I believe that this is why a lot of people that have seen some of them looking a lot like humans is possibly because they're trying to make themselves look as human so that we don't freak out. Basically when we see them. And a lot of things also that abductees say is that they looked human, but not really, you know, they looked kind of human, but not fully there. And that's another thing. And that's one explanation or something that could explain why people see different things sometimes. And also, like, it seems like they know exactly what will work for you specifically, because there was this one lady who got abducted, and she said that she saw Jesus and that Jesus was there, and he was telling her to be calm and be, you know, like not be afraid because he was going to be okay. And so it turns out, like, I can't remember how it came to be, but it's like the alien made itself look like Jesus because the woman was religious. And
that's what I was going to ask. So you're saying, yeah, she was religious. So they tapped into that.
Yeah.
Yeah, to make her at peace and comfortable.
Yeah, yeah. So they know they can do this shit to our brains and play with it. And just for the audience, you know, I'm one of those less skeptical people.
Less skeptical.
They've gathered that.
Hint, hint. <That's> just
kidding. Yeah, because we're on a few different pages here. I think Tarzan and I, at least, and maybe James to an extent, is... are they here or not? Are we important enough or not? And you're already to, like, Close Encounters of the Sixth Kind, where it ends with a hand job.
Yeah,
yeah. She's offering eggs.
Yeah. She, E.T., bring me home. Thank me.
My body is ready.
Oh my God. Did you hear me? Oh, shit.
Oh, E.T.,
bring me home.
You guys need to get to that level, all right? And then you come talk to me.
I'm too practical and too real for that. I mean, like I said, you know, what it's going to take for me, maybe Chris, who I don't know, is, you know, seeing, you know, actually having an encounter myself, or actually, you know, when they actually, you know, do.
Well, are a lot of people say that about God. If only he would show up and, you know, perform a miracle or something in front of me, then I would believe. A lot of people say the same thing about, you know, that's so the two kind of do go hand in hand. The thought process does anyway.
Yeah, I get you.
Mm-hmm.
Think they're related in a sense anyway, from, I mean, not necessarily now, but, you know, all the old stories that you could pull from the Bible, or, you know, things coming out, people coming down from the sky and stuff. And, you know, a lot of people interpret that as ancient aliens. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's where religions were based off of. So,
yeah, I like that.
We talked about the story of the World War II story, the island where they landed the planes.
Damn right.
Right. And they landed on this little, I think it was in the Pacific,
mm-hmm,
somewhere. They landed the military planes and set up a runway and a Air Force base for the war. And they brought the natives stuff, you know, and said, you know, gave them things.
Yeah, some of their rations, yeah, and, you know, food and clothing and shit like that.
Right, and like, you know, here you go, use this for us using your land temporarily. And then, of course, the war wrapped up and they took off and left. And then the birds disappeared, the big metal birds disappeared, right? So they started burning straw birds, straw planes, essentially, they created an effigy to bring those people back, those gods that brought them things.
That's right.
So you created a religion right there on that island.
Sure did.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you know what? That's what's funny. Because a lot of those religions, that's what they have in common. They're all pointing to the heavens. It isn't a magic fucking tree or something like that. It's all to the sky. I mean, all of them. You know? You know, when they pray, they pray to a certain direction, or, you know what I mean? It's just kind of, you know, it's a little crazy. I mean, really.
Yeah, like we were talking about Egypt last week. I mean, constellations were different gods and goddesses, you know, for these people.
And also, Chris introduced me to that show, Ancient Aliens. And there are these plateaus out in the desert and stuff look literally like a runway, you know? And I don't know, like it would be a place for a UFO to land. It looks like that. There's some crazy stuff, man.
Yeah, definitely some things that can only be seen from the sky, which is very odd. But then you say, why does a UFO need a runway? But at the same time, it's like still made for the sky before there was flight.
But it may, though. I mean, maybe there are some that are just a little more advanced than us, you know, sure, in the scheme of things, just a little bit more.
So I know we're a little bit scattered here, I guess, because we were all kind of all over the place.
It has to be.
But it has to be, because there's so many variables. There's so many infinite variables in all these things, because no doubt, in my opinion, there's other life. And now, is that other life intelligent, all of it? No. Most of it's probably not. Most on this planet is not.
That's right.
I mean, you got to look at our own little ecosystem here. Or when I say ecosystem, I mean Earth. You know, most of it is not intelligent. We're the top of the food chain. There are other intelligent creatures, but they don't have the opposable thumbs to do things.
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying, that these aliens that are visiting us, like, we don't know how many other species are in the planets that they live.
That's right.
Oh, yeah. So, sure. Like, you could be. Yeah, I mean, like, they may be the top of the food chain on their planet, but we're thinking in our terms again with that, though, right?
Yep.
I mean, that's all there is to it. I mean, they may come from, they call it you know, mm-hmm, and that's the name of their little place, and then they have billions of species, and they're just the smartest on the planet with opposable thumbs or some kind of, you know, and then a language and writing, and then technology, obviously, and the rest of the species are just like our lions and tigers and giraffes. Oh my.
Yeah,
that's right. I mean,
they might have their own type of dogs, who knows, you know, pets.
What do you guys personally think about life possibly being in our known solar system?
I'm not against it. I really am not.
Yeah, I mean, it's certainly, obviously it's possible. Anything's possible, but,
I don't think we're getting, like, you know, what you guys want, like the gray or anything. I don't think that's happening.
Yeah, I mean, if you think about, if we are assuming that life is all with the same physics around the whole entire universe, obviously, and if life operates the same way with carbon-based things, then there are no planets to support that. But, and in the vastness of space, you know, in the vastness of the universe, and even our galaxy, one in a trillion, probably not, but, you know.
But, I mean, what about, like, these fart worms like he's talking about, you know?
Oh, well, you mean other life in general? Like, yeah. Yeah, sure.
An amoeba somewhere.
Yeah, like an amoeba. Yeah, sure. I thought you just meant intelligent. Yeah. No, but probably.
Yeah, intelligent is a lot less likely, but.
I mean, Europa is a wide open thing, and that's why I'm so excited about that. And actually, I was watching and reading some shit today. They're actually finally, I don't know if they're leaving in 2022 or they're going to be there, but they're finally going to start that project to find out what's down in there. For those of you who don't know, Europa is an ice-covered moon of Jupiter. And what it is, it has water geysers that come out of it. And the entire planet is an underwater ocean, okay? And it's Earth-like water, you know what I mean? So they're thinking, if they get down in there, that Dr. Keiku, who's freaking just absolutely brilliant, he says, you know, they expect to at least find some type of microorganisms or something of that nature. He said, but don't be surprised if something comes and licks the damn camera, you know what I mean? And it's possible, it's crazy, but you know what I'm saying? That's what he's trying to say. It's like the possibilities of what could be below that are just endless, and we just don't have that technology yet right in front of our face, you know what I mean?
Yeah, that's pretty cool. Okay, I've got a question for you guys. Would you be willing to, if you had the chance, travel to another planet?
I would not. No way.
Well, do I get to come back?
Well, sure, if you want to.
I don't know. That would be a hard one for me.
I've thought about it, and it's just it's terrifying. Like, no, I don't want to leave my planet. Like, this Earth is just safe and nice, and you know, out there you don't know what happens out there. You know what, I remember, like, this one scene from a movie, a space movie, I can't remember exactly which space movie it was, but it was this guy who was, like, on a ship out there, and he started thinking all these thoughts that were freaking him out about the fact that if there was one tiny crack in the spaceship, like, you know, they would just blow up, and that, like, you know, like, it's just how, like, there's only this little layer of, well, not little, but this piece of metal in between me and death. you know?
Yes.
Like,
this is what I think about on a regular airplane.
Okay, well, yeah.
or the dudes that have gone down in those submarines, Marianas Trench or whatever. I mean, there's just a little layer of metal, you know, between you and sudden death.
John. Now, I will say this. I'm a little skeptical of like the far off stuff, unless they have like clear shots with telescopes, because they measure everything based off color, reflection. Yes. And I always question when they say, oh, this planet over here, H52970, it's in this solar system over here. It's very Earth-like. It's got water. It's got this atmosphere, because they don't really know that. They're guesstimating based off the color coming back, which says there may be this element in the atmosphere. But so I'm always skeptical when they have all these, you know, super fine details about these really, really distant planets and shit. You know,
I always have been too.
Bumblebee tuna.
Because I have no idea about the hand job. I mean, like, I can't wait to go Google some of this shit. But it does make sense.
You know, dudes be lining up. They get some alien chick, give them a damn hand job.
And you were saying about how they can manipulate what we see and all that. That's stuff I'd never heard of. So, yeah, I'm fascinated. I think it'll fascinate a lot of listeners, too. Oh, yeah, definitely. Definitely, definitely do yourselves a favor and watch Unacknowledged. It took me a while to watch it, but after I watched it, I've gone and watched so many YouTube videos that this Dr. Greer does. He can come off sometimes as a little too sure of himself, because we're all talking about is stuff that's so out there. And he seems to have it all figured out and this and that. But he brings up some really cool points. And I think you guys would all enjoy watching that.
No, and I was also expecting people to say things that we didn't know about in the comments so that we can learn more about it too, which is
absolutely.
Yeah, and I want to say too that I think when we can recover some of these topics, and we want to invite some actual guests who are experts on these matters too. That's the big thing we want to do with this podcast and the change of format too. So we don't want to just come on here and we can just have a good conversation and. But we can bring some experts on, say an Egyptologist, for example,
be
outstanding. And then say, well, what about this idea? You know, you hear a lot about this, and they can tell us, oh, it's either bullshit or it's possible.
Yeah, that'd be amazing. Yeah, I'd love that.
But anyway, okay, so I guess to kind of wrap this alien talk up, right? So I think we all agree that there's probably life out there just for the sheer vastness of the universe. I think we've all pretty much agreed that most of it's probably not, you know, intelligent. It could be single-celled organisms, amoeba-type things everywhere. I'm no doubt about it.
Right.
But there's obviously something to, you know, lights in the sky. Sometimes they aren't explainable. There has been something happened at Roswell. There is military stuff involved, obviously, and I have no doubt about that. So some of that could be explained away. And I think we all agree that 90% of it's probably bullshit.
Yep.
But 10% of us not. So I guess let us know what you think in the comments on YouTube or SoundCloud, where you can actually leave comments.
If you've had an experience, yeah. I didn't mean to cut in on you, but yeah, if somebody out there feels like they've had a legit experience, I'd love to hear about it.
Yeah.
And have you had a close encounter of the sixth kind? The sixth kind. Remember, that's the happy ending. I want to know if anybody's had a happy ending specifically.
Oh, God. If you're comfortable sharing that, you know, it's okay.
No, right. Share it, damn it. Share it. I want to know, is there a sixth kind? Of all the things of the podcast, I took away the happy ending.
And how did they do it?
I wish you good fortune in the world to come.
You underestimate the power of the dark side.